CBSI in the world. I'm John Batchelor. The Baltic states, formerly under the boot of the Soviet Empire, now independent members of NATO, members of the EU, a prosperous land, Lithuania, Latvia, and Estonia. I learned, however, from Patrick Tucker, the technology editor of Defense One, that Estonia is under assault. How? Carjacking, harassment by Russian speakers. Why? Patrick, a very good evening to you. I lack a larcenous brain. It never would have occurred to me that at the KGB / FSB, there was a carjacking division. What is going on to your understanding in Estonia? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Yes, a very interesting alert put out yesterday by Estonia's Internal Security Service Director, reiterated by the Prime Minister on X, which is formerly Twitter, basically alerting to what they're calling a Kremlin-backed hybrid warfare operation in Estonia, where GRU officials, so part of the Russian military, use social media to reach out to Russian-speaking citizens in Estonia, and there were some that apparently had Russian passports too, paid them money to vandalize the car of the interior minister and a couple of journalists. And it's all part of this effort to create a sense in Estonia that popular sentiment is rising against the government, against the West, against their support for Ukraine. It's basically trying to sow ethnic divisiveness, civil strife. And yet do it through this strange means of finding people in Estonia that identify as ethnically Russian or Russian speaking and pay them money to basically commit mischief. It's fascinating, and it's the sort of thing that sounds pretty quaint when you consider in the context of the active bombing campaign taking place in Ukraine. But this hybrid warfare operation, which is what the government there is calling it, you know, that falls within a pattern of Russian active measures, as they're sometimes called. Those took place in Georgia prior to the Russian invasion of Georgia in 2008. They certainly took place in Ukraine prior to 2014, where the Kremlin was trying to stoke fears, concerns, and ethnic strife in eastern Ukraine, in Donetsk and Luhansk, to convince Russian-speaking people there that the government was out to get them. And now they've turned to Estonia, which has a population of about 22% of Russian speakers, people that identify ethnically as Russian.
Yes, and it's a small population. My memory is it's about 1 million people, extremely well-educated. And I recall some years before the pandemic, an all-digital government. In other words, everything it can be accessed online, very well ahead of us. And in the report from the Security Service Director General, Margot Palison, I see the Chinese are also involved. Was there any clarity about how China is efforting this for Russia or with Russia? Are they working together?
Well, so this refers to this hybrid warfare technique that China is also adopting primarily in the Pacific. So China also sometimes reaches out to Chinese speakers in places like Singapore, the Philippines, obviously Taiwan, to further this tactic, but really it was pioneered by the Kremlin, by the Soviet Union. And so you're just going to see like a lot more of this. And to your point, it's natural that Estonia caught it. Estonia has probably the most sophisticated intelligence service in Eastern Europe, probably one of the most sophisticated in the world. If you ever go there, it's like visiting all of Scandinavia except in Eastern Europe, huge technical capabilities in terms of startups, et cetera. So the intelligence service caught this, and astute as they are, very quickly informed the world about it, even though it was very small scale. And that's something that, you know, experts say is really important with these hybrid techniques is to identify them and publicize them as quickly as possible, because that protects the population from the effects of these mischief makers that are really just trying to cause civil strife.
There's also a remark by the Prime Minister, and I believe the Prime Minister was threatened with as on a wanted list by the Kremlin some days past, and probably that was a prep for what you're reporting, that what we're looking at here is all democratic societies, not just Estonia. So Estonia's picked it up, but we believe, or the inference is, that it's going on even in the United States and Mexico. Is that correct, Patrick?
Well, yeah, and I think that you can see that pretty clearly in the Senate Intelligence Committee report from 2018 documenting Russian active measure efforts in the 2016 election. Regardless of who you voted for or why, the Kremlin very definitely did try to steer the electorate towards a particular candidate. If you follow the Black Lives Matter movement, they also tried to support some of the people that were affiliated with those protests, even though the protests had their own organic roots. So it's become very commonplace for Russian information influence operators to glom onto movements in the West in order to kind of pull people apart from one another and cast suspicion on basically central kind of mainstream government officials of both parties. And that's certainly the case in the United States and across administrations. Officials have warned that that is a continuing effort from Russia. And it's certainly the case. I think you just can look across Europe and see that influence taking place in elections and campaigns across the board.
Back to the vandalism of the cars. They break windows, they put soap on the window, they throw paint on the front seat. Is that sort of vandalism?
Well, you know, they haven't been too clear yet on exactly what happened. It sounds a little more severe than that. There might have been efforts to light them on fire, because that creates a lot more spectacle, and you don't go through this effort if you're not about the spectacle. Yes, Estonia is not alone in this. There's also Moldova, which is a very small country, very close to Romania, primarily Ukrainian-speaking. But the Institute for the Study of War just last week said that they have become a primary target for Russian hybrid warfare operations. And as we saw in Georgia, Ukraine in 2014 and elsewhere, that might be a pretext for a lot more mischief later this year.
Moldova is especially vulnerable because it's not a member of NATO. It's not even a member of EU. I think it has observation status. It's very small, and it essentially is Odessa province. If you start with Kharkiv and look for Novorossiya, you can stretch it all the way to Odessa province. They're about as vulnerable as you can get on the front line. And you say that, is Estonia reporting that they're struggling with the same instance, or is Moldova reporting?
Well, that comes from the Institute of the Study of War, which basically tracks a lot of open source Russian communications and observes different patterns. And what they've encountered is just Russian officials repeatedly now, with great more urgency and a lot more conviction, trying to highlight the quote-unquote plight of ethnic-speaking Russians in Moldova and create the impression that the central Moldovan government does not care for them and is trying to basically starve them through lack of funds. It's all sort of a nonsense narrative, but it's clearly designed to drive a wedge between those citizens and their government, and eventually, potentially, create a pretext for Russian action in that country, military action, to protect that native-speaking population, exactly the pretext they employed in Georgia and then in Ukraine.
That's the script from Sudetenland, 1936. That's exact 37, 38, exactly. We need to protect the German speakers in this foreign land. Patrick Tucker reporting for Defense One on Estonia's alert and the Institute of Study of War's alert that Russian hybrid attacks include car vandalism. We're going to turn to Russia more threatening still when we come back. Nukes in space. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.